Sup, people?
So, John, yesterday, you know how the different teams will send hype boxes?
Yeah.
Like, for example, when I got my Rams season ticket holder box, I put it on video and I opened it up and you could see what was in it. Here's part of the end zone. Here's this football, all kinds of stuff, right? So LAFC said, Mario asked me, who's a huge LAFC fan, and I think produces our LAFC games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he does.
He said, LAFC wants to send you a hype box. Will you do something on social media with it? And I said, yeah, sure. So last night, I do the video, and I open the box, and there's like an LAFC soccer ball, and there's a huge scarf, and there's all kinds of stuff. So open it up, put it on social media. Great. I saw comments later. You know your address is on the box.
Oh. Oh, no, Mace.
Did you delete it?
Yes.
Oh, good.
But that's how stupid I am.
All right, so one day.
Yeah.
This is a new name tag.
Okay.
Okay. And you can see.
Just John Ireland and the Lakers logo.
Right. On my back.
Yep.
For years, the old one, I put a sticker on it.
Yep.
That had my cell phone number on it.
Okay.
So when we were doing the show on Spectrum Sportsnet.
Yes.
I would come in, sit down, put my thing. One day my phone starts ringing.
Yep.
And we're doing the show, so I'm ignoring it and the show goes. But it was odd because I got 7 or 8 calls during the show.
Yeah.
And finally, one of the calls left a message. They said, Ireland, you know, I'm watching you on Spectrum. You know, your backpack is in the background, and it's got your phone number blasted wow. all over the screen. And I went, oh.
Got to be careful.
You. So I no longer have my phone number on my backpack.
Yeah, smart.
So I did
smart.
The same thing.
Well good, because we're on YouTube, and we would have seen it on your backpack
oh, yeah,
as you
true.
Picked
yeah,
it up and put it on the desk.
We there. Do that for when I travel. We do a QR code instead of our information.
Oh,
like you
okay.
can generate a QR code, print it, and put it in your tag.
Yeah, I don't have time for
that.
That's
it.
That's the black marker,
that's
I just crossed
than
everything
I
out
do.
And redid the same thing. So I don't see what Miles Turner said. Am I stupid? I mean, don't answer that question. It's rhetorical. Am I stupid? Do we have Miles Turner talking?
Yeah, I'll play.
All right, now, this is okay. Woj. He's doing a podcast. Now, most of the time, if a guy is on one team, you won't ask him about
other teams.
Playing for another team
yeah.
because he'll never say, yeah, I want to be traded. Miles Turner comes pretty close. This is Woj with Miles Turner.
You've been hearing it for months. So I'll ask you, if you're the Lakers, would you do the 2 picks? Would you do the 2 picks?
Oh, that's such an intriguing question at that. I think personally, you know, when you look at this business of the league and, you know, knowing the landscape of the league, you know, you have to go off your future, right? And we all know picks are so valuable in this league. And someone like myself, I'm heading into the last year of my, you know, my deal, and you want to make sure, you know, you're getting a return, you know, for your assets, right? So, you know, if I'm the Lakers, I take a very hard look at this with the position that you're in. You know, I know what I can provide for a team, you know, my leadership, my shot blocking, you know, my three-point ability, and just my ability to make plays out there on the floor, and I take a very long look at it. But as far as pulling the trigger, you know, that's I get paid to shoot. Now, you know, I'm not made to make these calls, so I couldn't answer that.
All right, so first of all, kudos to Miles Turner
yeah,
for a
kidding.
Moment of honesty
hey,
there.
Hey, for Woj asking the question.
Yeah, I mean,
picks.
Most players won't touch it.
Yeah.
And I actually am a big Miles Turner fan. You know, he actually shoots well from 3.
Yeah, he's a great player.
And it wouldn't just be him. It would probably be Buddy Hield, too.
Correct, who's a dead-eye shooter.
Fourth in the NBA and made 3s per game.
So here's my issue with this, and I think it's kind of like A or B, do nothing or do everything. So you either trade Russell Westbrook, your 27 first round pick, your 29 first round pick to Indiana for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. That trade has been laying there for a long time, and you heard him talk about it. Or you do nothing, you ride it out, you wait and see if Russell Westbrook settles into the 6-man role. And you see how far you can get, use his $47 million during the offseason to get better. I think those are – I think it's option A or option B.
And you were arguing for option B yesterday.
I'm still arguing for option B. I still think that $47 million, and I don't know who's on the free agent market, but that's a lot of money. Who is on the free agent market next year? Who can we get for $47 million?
Well, what's interesting is the biggest name is probably going to be Kyrie.
Yeah, and I want no part of Kyrie.
Right.
None.
So you're saving money for who then? I think Miles Turner and Buddy Hield are a pretty good haul.
Right, but it's not gonna put you championship caliber. Draymond Green is free agent after this year.
Right.
They don't sign him. There are guys, Chris Middleton, James Harden, Kyrie, D'Angelo Russell. Is there anybody? Gary Trent Jr. is a nice player. Those are the kinds of guys. So maybe that's not game changer to
right.
keep that 47.
I think you said something that I think a lot of Laker fans are using this vernacular, and it doesn't have to be this.
Okay.
You said, does this trade, and I think you were highlighting the Turner trade at the
correct.
Time, make the Lakers a championship contender? And if the answer is no, then don't do it. I just think that the trade could make you better. And you want to just be moving in the right direction of improving. Are they a better team if they do that trade?
Oh, immediately a better team.
Yeah.
But are they the 6 seed, the 7 seed?
Maybe.
Are they still in the play-in tournament? And is that really where you're aiming, or are you aiming during the offseason to make that one big move where you've got assets, you get your 27, your 29, and you're able to maneuver this summer and use the $47 million in cap space?
Well, you've just hit on the main thing here. You got one move here.
Correct.
That's all you got.
Yep.
You got one big move you can make, which is why Rob is being very, very careful as to when he uses it.
Yeah.
Your argument that he should do nothing and just use it in the offseason is a legitimate argument. I mean, that may be the smartest course of action.
Yes. The panic move might be to do this deal.
But on the other hand, LeBron is not going to be around. I know he looks like he's going to be around forever.
Plays like it.
Yeah, he's not. So is it prudent to throw away a year of LeBron, meaning this year,
yep,
and wait? I don't know. Maybe not. If LeBron's only going to be good for 2 to 3 more years, or who knows, maybe just 1 year.
Right.
I'm like what we're seeing right now with like Chris Paul. There's a serious drop off. Matthew Stafford may be heading down the mountain.
Yes.
You never know when Father Time is going to show up. And so, you know, right now, LeBron's playing at a championship level.
And he wins in most of the commercials, most of the Father Time commercials.
Yes.
Jason Momoa wins some, but LeBron, I think, wins the big battle with Father Time.
So if you can make the team better when you have LeBron in a championship window, I think you consider it. And I think the Lakers are considering it. But the reason they're not going to make a knee jerk here is they've got one move
yep.
here. One, that's it.
Yep.
And how and when you use it is critical. So they very well may do what you're suggesting and just sit and wait until next year.
Okay. So yesterday, do you realize that the Powerball jackpot was not won last night?
Yeah, so it's $1 billion now.
$1 billion. Now, when do they do the next drawing?
I think tomorrow, Wednesday.
Wednesday,
is it
right?
Tomorrow?
I think Wednesday.
What, are we all going on tickets?
Yeah, I'm so dumb, I'm in.
20
yeah,
bucks?
I'm so dumb,
let's
I'm
do
in
it.
Too.
Give it to you right now.
All right.
I'll give it to you tomorrow.
Yeah, after the drawing.
Oh, actually, my wallet's in my car. I can Venmo you. Do you have
yeah,
Venmo?
I'll
no,
Venmo.
I don't.
What do you mean you don't have Venmo?
I don't.
How do people pay you?
Zelle.
I think I have Zelle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't so know
here's
how to do
a, here's
I may
a,
have closed Zelle.
Here's
I think
a weird,
I had a problem.
So do people realize that the higher the jackpot is, the more people that buy tickets, which makes it less likely that you're going to win?
Yeah, that's what
Does
I'm saying.
Does anybody put
I'm
that
stupid.
Together in their head?
And by the way, there's a better chance I'm going to be hit by lightning walking out of here
exactly.
today than win this lottery. And yet, did you see how quickly I said, here, Jorge?
Oh, yeah, here's my money. So this is a theory that Juan has. Juan says you're never going to win the Powerball jackpot if you buy your ticket in West L.A.
Why?
Too affluent.
No, but there's that. Where's that one liquor store, Bluebird Liquor?
Isn't that Hawthorne?
Yeah, where every TV news crew goes.
Right, I think it's Hawthorne because there's been a winner there.
Like one town over from
so
me.
So like when we were out in Desert Hot Springs last week, Juan was like, yeah, let's get a ticket here at this point.
I don't think his logic is crazy.
No, it's not. Rich people tend not to win the lotto, I don't think. Do they?
Wow.
Not normally.
You guys ever know anybody to win the lottery? I did. One of my fraternity brothers won it when he was 24.
Get out of here. How much?
$3 million.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Walked into his boss. He was working construction. Walked into his boss's office and flipped him off and quit.
Do you think he blew it all?
He did.
He did?
How fast?
Probably 6 years.
6 years, $3 million?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow.
But, I mean, he got a nice house out of it.
I mean, is he okay now?
Yeah, I think so. Right. I know we could probably call him and ask him.
Lindsay just texted.
Did she win?
She says the odds are the same regardless of how many people buy a ticket. How can that be?
No, because the more people that buy tickets, the lesser your odds get. If I have a 1 in 100 chance of winning versus a 1 in 1,000 chance of winning, that's different.
Right. So let's agree. If you have 1 in 1 million chance versus 1 in 1 billion chance, you've got a better chance.
Yeah.
1 in 1 million.
Yeah, I think she's wrong.
Lindsay. All right. Coming up next for you. Okay, I got something good. All right. So, John, there is a blue check mark revolt. Have you heard about it?
No, but I've got things to say about this.
Good.
I was with another blue check mark person this morning, and we both came to the conclusion that even if they charge us $1 a month to keep our blue check mark, we're out.
Okay.
On principle.
Yeah, we'll do that coming up. By the way, Lindsay says, because the numbers are infinite, they don't only sell X amount of tickets. You're wrong. Google it.
Okay.
Let me tell you, that is like the billionth time Lindsay has told me I am wrong.
Well, in this case, she could be right, but it doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't make
sense
to
me. The more people that buy tickets, the lesser chance you have of winning.
Still texting. It's a raffle where they only sell 100 tickets. Your odds are 1 in 100. Yeah, your odds are 1 in a billion.
Yeah, there is no cap on how many lottery tickets can be sold. It's a money-making device.
Correct. All right. Yeah. It's to you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so we're talking
about the
Powerball.
Major reaction here.
Yeah. And actually, King Dice is on the line on this subject of the Powerball and whether or not the odds get worse the higher the jackpot goes. King Dice, what's up, man?
How's it going, guys?
All right, so our contention is that because more people are playing, there's less likely a chance to win. Are we right, or is Lindsay right?
Lindsay is right. A couple minutes ago, you gave an example about the raffle. That's actually a very good example. On a raffle, everyone gets a ticket, but that's a single prize for a single winner. A lottery is a progressive multiplayer game. So let's say...
King Dice, you're right. It doesn't increase or decrease our chances of winning. It just increases our chances of splitting the pot.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Boy, hey, King Dice, are we pretty dumb here or what?
Not at all. I work in a casino. I explain the rules all the time.
Nice.
All right. Thank you, King Dice.
Calling from Vegas. Works in a casino.
And there are many, many tweets backing up Lindsay.
It's a great name for somebody that works in Vegas at a casino, by the way.
It's King Dice.
King Dice.
Okay,
hey,
so remember a few weeks ago, I can't remember if Mason was here or not, we were talking about a TV show called Pacific Blue.
Yeah, I don't know that.
That he did a cameo on once.
You did a cameo?
Two cops, two hot girls on bikes. Yeah. The guy who created that show is a guy named Bill Nuss, who tracked me down when we were talking about it.
Right.
And he just said, Lindsay, he just texted me, Lindsay is correct. The odds are based on the total possible combinations of numbers. However, with more entries, there's more of a likelihood that multiple winners with the same
Somebody
numbers.
In L.A. got 5 of the 6 and won a whole bunch of money today. Somebody did. But the big jackpot is still out there. All right, so yesterday we found out that Elon Musk, who's like a... He's like a Batman supervillain at this point.
Lex Luthor.
He is. He's Lex Luthor. See, he decided, I'm going to start charging everybody $20 a piece for their blue check mark. Now, I've got a blue check mark. Ireland's got a blue check mark. A lot of the people that we know have blue check marks. It verifies your identity and all that stuff. So this is what Stephen King said about it. And Stephen King has 6.9 million followers. He says, $20 a month to keep my blue check mark? F that. They should pay me. If that gets instituted, I'm gone like Enron. It ain't the money. It's the principle of the thing. Nate Silver, who has 538.com, he has 3.5 million followers. He says, quote, I'm probably the perfect target for this. Use Twitter a ton. Can afford $20 a month. Not particularly anti-Elon, but my reaction is that I've generated a ton of valuable free content for Twitter over the years, and they can go F themselves.
I kind of feel the same way.
Me too.
I'm
no
not
way.
Paying even a dollar to keep my blue check mark.
Nope, not at
and
all.
And I've had one since the beginning.
It's going to be cool to not have a blue check mark.
Like I've said before, I think you lean on social media a little more than I do. I the minute we're done with this show, I think I'm off Twitter.
Yeah,
forever.
And I still have an ongoing show, so I've got to keep going with it. But yeah. By the way, this is an interesting nugget for you. So about 21% of Americans are on Twitter and using it regularly.
Okay.
So I came across this story that 90% of all tweets are generated by 10% of the members. So in other words, 10% of people on Twitter are generating virtually everything. And the number of people who consider themselves heavy tweeters are declining. I think he bought an asset that is in decline. Now he's trying to charge everybody $20. And I think people are increasingly moving to Instagram and TikTok for their information.
I think most people use Twitter as a news feed.
It is a good news feed, yeah.
And so that's why it's how he decides to monetize it will determine whether or not he overpaid. Most people think he did overpay.
Yeah.
I just think it's a cesspool of negativity. That's why I don't like Twitter.
Can be. Definitely can be.
But
hold on. I'll tell you what. I sent out a tweet yesterday after the show. I mentioned that I was speechless after the Rams lost that game to San Francisco on Sunday, and I couldn't bring myself to tweet. So yesterday after the show, I tweeted this. Sean McVay is undefeated against Kyle Shanahan in the playoffs. I would trade all the regular season games for that win in the NFC Championship game. Hope all those Niners fans got to see our Lombardi trophy. It's been a while since they've won it themselves. Hashtag Rams House. I got so much reaction, so much vitriol, so much. And Juan said to me last night, you know you're getting a lot of hate on that tweet. I'm like, yeah, that was the whole idea.
Yeah.
The whole idea is to just troll the world. But factually, particularly the first two parts, are true. I would trade all of the regular season games for that one NFC championship game. That's just facts, right?
I'm not sure that's true.
Come on! We lost last year in the final game, which was fantastic because Green Bay had to go to the Cowboys and Green Bay, and we got San Francisco at home in the NFC Championship game.
Okay, so how long? Sean McVay came in 2015, 2016, right around there somewhere?
Let's see.
He's played like 10 games against
2017, Kyle 2018,
Shanahan.
Yeah.
He's played 10 games against Kyle Shanahan, right? He's 0-10?
Yes.
And then he's 1-0 in the postseason. Sooner or later, and it may be this year, one of those Niner losses is going to cost you a chance to play in the Super Bowl. So the one Super Bowl ticket that you cashed,
which is the one I care about,
right? If they don't beat them for 10 more years, so how many years is that going to keep you out of the playoffs? That's kind of why.
Well, you can make the playoffs losing to San Francisco,
right? But I'm saying it's sooner or later it's going to catch up to you. If you write down two losses at the start of every year.
Right, but would you not trade that 0-10? And by the way, for some reason, I think it's 0-8. Would you not trade that 0-10 or that 0-8, whichever one it is, for one NFC championship game?
I would.
Yes.
But would you do it for 0-20?
For one Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yes, for one Super Bowl championship.
All right, what
yes.
about 0-40?
For one Super Bowl championship. It's only happened twice in the history of the Rams.
Right.
That you trade everything for the Super Bowl.
You would take 20 years of losing to the Niners for one Super Bowl.
For one Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Would you not?
Then you've got the right guy.
Wouldn't you? For one Super Bowl?
It depends what it costs me.
Let's take that premise. It's 20 consecutive losses.
Okay. In the regular season,
not the
postseason.
In the regular season, right. Would you trade 20 consecutive losses for one NFC championship game where you went on to win the Super Bowl?
I think so, but you'd have to tell me how many of those 20 losses cost me a chance at the playoffs. In other words, did I miss the playoffs by one game in some of those years?
Yeah, I mean, I actually when I look ahead here at the rest of the season, by the way, if you're just tuning in, the Rams did not make any moves at the trade deadline. There were approximately 9 players traded. And
there were 10 today, which is an all-time record for one day.
Was it 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there were some trades of the ones of note. Let's see. What's of note? Bradley Chubb to the Dolphins is a great guy.
McCaffrey's probably the biggest name that went.
McCaffrey last week. Yeah. 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 But TJ Hockenstein went to the Vikings. That's useful.
Hockenson's a good player.
Chase Claypool to the Bears. I don't know what the Bears are doing because they also traded Roquan Smith to the Ravens. Calvin Ridley to the Jaguar. I mean, there are trades. The Rams did not do any. And they tried. Apparently, they offered 2 first-round draft picks, 24 and 25, to the Carolina Panthers for Brian Burns, the defensive end. And
I don't know why Carolina didn't do that.
I don't know why Carolina. Carolina, I think Carolina's thought was, look, we can trade him during the offseason or after this season and get a 23 pick, which will be more immediate than the 24 and the 25. Does that make sense? We want a number one in 23 where we can get better faster. I think that's what they were thinking.
Yeah, but most, like, there's a couple of Rams draft picks who've worked out really well. Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald.
A lot of them. Mm, a lot of Rams draft picks.
Not really.
Van Jefferson, on and on.
Yeah, but Van Jefferson isn't, like, he's very replaceable. The guys that did the Rams draft Tyler Higbee? I think they did.
Yeah.
But most of the star Ram players from last year's Super Bowl team, outside of Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald, were acquired by trade or by free agency. Guys like Jalen Ramsey and Matthew Stafford, and, you know, Sony Michel was really important last year, and OBJ and all those guys. So it just seems to me, and I said this during Super Crosstalk today, if I'm an NFL GM and I didn't do anything today, right, I didn't feel like I'm doing my job. And you can say, well, we tried, but trying's not good enough. Like Tom and the Sword used to say, I can get that guy up there in the stands to try. You need somebody who can make moves and improve the team.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, and a lot of teams stood pat. And it's a weird year in the NFL. Now, the message, what do we take any message from the fact that the Rams did nothing? Because they did try to do stuff.
Well, and the Rams are always pretty active in every possible way. You know, like they'll trade their picks on draft day. They'll go out and sign. The Rams may not be done. They may still go sign OBJ when he's ready to be signed.
Yeah,
you know? So
may still come.
I'm not worried about Les Snead. He has a history. You've got to look at his whole body of work. He has a history of being active.
Now,
in the world were the Raiders doing? What were the Chargers doing?
Yeah.
What were the, you know, it just seems to me that today was a great chance for you to improve your team if you're an NFL GM and you did nothing.
All right, coming up next for you. Sean McVay did something inexplicable Sunday. In that game,
I meant to ask you about this yesterday, and I didn't.
It is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Yeah, and Adele is going back to school. You know the story of that?
No.
I will tell you coming up. And then we got Bobcat Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so don't forget we're doing Lie of the Day today. Winner gets a Terranea Resort prize package, including lunch and dinner for two at Terranea Resort and archery for two at the Beach Cove. Plus, you qualify for the grand prize we're giving away on Friday, a luxury oceanfront getaway to Terranea Resort. And get this, you get a 2-night stay in an ocean view suite, a Lexus LC to drive for the weekend, golf at the links, dinner at the Catalina Kitchen, and limo service to crypto.com for a night out with some basketball. That is all going to be announced on Friday, but you can qualify and get a cool thing from Terranea today if you can figure out my lie. All right, so, John, I was at the this is interesting. So I'm at the Rams game on Sunday, and at the very end of the game, there is...
At this point, it's like 31-13, right?
Right, 31-14. Game's over. And a player goes down. I can't see who it is. Somebody's down. You can't see who it is. I look in the big board. Can't see who it is. Can't see who it is.
Because everyone huddles around
him. Yeah. So ultimately, limping off the field was Cooper Kupp. So during that loss, McVay, Sean, kept his starters in when it was 31-14 with a minute to go. Now, and Kupp rolled his ankle. He's questionable for Sunday. They hope he's going to be okay to go this week. But the question is, how can the guy who doesn't play any of his starters in the preseason let all of his starters stay in down 17 with a minute left?
It's a great question. And I hope Sean comes on with us this week and we can ask him.
Yeah.
Because you're right. He looks out for players more than any coach we know.
Yep.
Not sure what he was thinking there, other than a lot of coaches have the mentality you compete till the final whistle no matter what. But I'm with you. I can never understand, in particular, when the Lakers are getting blown out.
Yep.
They're down 30.
Yep.
There's 3-4 minutes to go.
Get everybody out.
What's LeBron doing out there?
Yeah.
What's AD doing out there?
What was Matthew Stafford doing out there?
Yeah. I think it's completely fair question.
That's a spot for John Wolford.
Yep. And, I mean, at this point, you're not scoring 20 points in the final 3 minutes.
No, so, you are not. By the way, it was the final minute.
Yeah, don't get it.
Just dumb.
And like you say, Sean is probably more conservative and takes better care of players than anyone we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be interested to see what his philosophy was there if we get him this week.
Yeah, are we having this week?
We should. We normally have him.
All right, good. All right, so John, Adele, who, by the way, this is so, does she go to a lot of Laker games? Or
some.
I saw her at the
I've seen her like at three, probably.
You know how sometimes people have just an aura where they're just clearly, she has that.
Yep.
And when I was at a game last year and she was there with Rich Paul, you kept looking down there and wondering, how is Adele looking at this game? What does she think of the game? I'm just fascinated by that. So she has announced that after she released her album 30 this year, with all those, go easy on me, she says she's going to take some time off and go back to school. She says she is going to major in English lit. She never got a chance to go to university because her recording career started so early. But she's going to go back to school and study English literature. Now, I've often thought about going back to school. I would be interested in going back to school. What about you?
Zero interest or possibility.
No,
yeah.
None.
I was very glad when I got out of school.
See, I'd like to go to UCLA and go to their screenwriting program. They've got a great screenwriting program at UCLA. I would love to.
See, I think you could write a screenplay without going to that program.
I have written screenplays. They're just not very good, so I could probably use the class. Jorge, would you ever go back to school?
I think so. Yeah, I would.
You're in a business where you got to keep learning new skills.
Yeah,
right?
I would go back to film school maybe.
Yeah, back to film school.
Film school would be cool.
You shoot those great hype videos and all that stuff. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Bergman, would you go back?
I didn't finish the first time.
Why
would
that's I go back? Right. But don't
you and me, Bergman. Hell no, we won't go.
Do you really? Exactly.
Don't let school interfere with your education.
No interest.
So here's this.
And I, no interest.
This is a true story. So I went to Bowling Green State University, and in 1987, when I wrapped up my years at Bowling Green, 4 years, all my friends graduated, and I went through the graduation ceremony, even though I was three credits short.
Phony.
5 years later, I worked out with a professor at Bowling Green to do an independent study for those final three credits. So technically, I'm class of 92 and not class of 87. Well, you guys are all looking at me.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I just got an email.
I just got an email.
Son just called.
The Rams yeah. just let me.
Nice try, man.
You know what his tell is? His tell is always, this is a true story.
Okay. Cole, let me tell you something. You guys are 1,000,000% wrong.
That was true?
Really?
That was 100% true. Oh. That's not the lie of the day.
Oh.
You guys all are like, oh,
yeah,
no.
Got him, got him.
No, class of 92, technically.
As soon as you go, this is a true story, I tweeted to both those guys, this is the lie.
So I will give you a hint. The lie has been told.
Okay.
Okay.
But it's not that.
It's not that.
Okay.
Oh,
it's not
God.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. You sure you didn't get an email?
I did not.
Okay. From Northridge?
Exactly. Yeah. Technically, you're not class of 92.
So, did you see they're working on a Dodgeball 2?
Oh, man, I hope it's... Man, that is a movie they probably shouldn't mess with.
I don't know. They're waiting for Ben Stiller to say yes. There's apparently a screenplay. Vince Vaughn is pushing for it. And it is Ben Stiller that is the holdup. Now... It's Dodgeball. I think it works. Now, the sad part is Rip Torn has passed away, and he was the coach. And if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yeah, but he got killed in the first Dodgeball.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, he did
get killed. The scoreboard fell on top of him.
Unfortunately, he passed away in real life. Great actor.
Right.
So you're
Yeah, because he did come by in flashbacks.
Yeah, and he was great, by the way, on the Larry Sanders Show.
They've got to get Gary Cole and Jason Bateman to be the announcers if they do Dodgeball again.
So are you in or out?
Oh, 100% in.
Yeah, I am too.
If I see it now, I stop and watch
so
it.
Funny. Yeah. So funny. All right, coming up next for you is Bobcat Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. All right, so Dwight Howard is out of the league right now. Listen to what he had to say to Shannon Sharp on where he wants to play next.
What about the defending champs, the Warriors?
Oh, man, that's perfect. I've been a Warrior my whole life. I started out at my school as a Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
They need a big. I know they have Kevon Looney, and I know they have Wiseman. The young boy Wiseman. But I'm Dwight Howard. Wiseman can learn so much from me because he's headed in that direction of being a great big man. You know what I'm saying?
So what do you think of Dwight Howard to fit on Golden State, and should they give him a shot?
First of all, I would like to point out, and this is specifically targeted at Ramona Shelburne, did you hear him say his own name?
Yes.
Yes. Dwight.
I'm Dwight Howard.
Dwight.
Yeah. Like exactly. She always makes fun of me for saying Dwight.
It's Dwight.
Yeah, that's how he says
it. Good point.
I actually think that Michael, who will be here tomorrow, by the way, Michael's coming
and
he's doing Game of Games. Michael would welcome this move because Dwight plays defense and rebounds, and that's what Golden State needs. And he wouldn't play more than 10, 15 minutes a game anyway. I actually think the Warriors would be smart to sign him. I like that idea.
You know, I actually like that idea, too. I mean, he was a really good role player for the Lakers in 2020.
Yeah.
When we won the championship in the bubble. I like the idea of Dwight kind of coaching up James Wiseman, who looks like he's going to be just a beast, with or without Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard. But I'm all for it. Some mentorship with one of the greatest of all, a Hall of Famer? Sure, absolutely.
Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy.
Random. Ooh, piece of candy.
It's just so stupid.
Hit it again.
Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy.
Who is that?
It's James Woods in Family Guy. And he's just, they trap him. It's just an amazing
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Ooh, piece of candy.
Wow.
All right, so did you know that Tim Burton did not direct The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Wait a minute. It says Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas right on the poster.
Yeah, but he was not the director. A man named Henry Selick did, and he told a site called AV Club that he feels slighted by it, and that it's a bit unfair that he doesn't get credit for bringing the incredible movies to life. Now, Burton was a producer and created the story, but Selick actually was the one that directed it. Has anyone ever taken credit for something that you created and you want to get off your chest
Hello,
now?
Hello, Blame Pie!
Blame Pie!
I had a feeling
Blame
that
Pie.
Was going to be
Kamenetsky's claim erroneously that they invented the Blame Pie.
Totally totally stole that from us. Bits. You know, here's the thing about radio. We all steal bits from each other all the time. Like the afternoon shows. Like, you got that from us. No, these bits have been floating
it's
around
all
forever.
All derivative.
It's all, we've been recycling the same bits I have for 35 years. It's the same stuff over and over.
We all go to the same sites. We all see the same things.
We all do go to the same sites.
Right. Like, if we tell a story, it's not because we heard it on another show.
Right. So, like, for example, Ireland sends an email every day, and I'm like, half the stuff we agree on that's already on the list, some new stuff. But, I mean, we're all going to the same sites. So, in the case of this, Blame Pie is the most egregious example. But I will tell you that I used to steal stuff all the time when I was in Ohio from Mark and Brian. Like, for example, there was a big story and it got national attention. Mark and Brian on KLOS were dunked in chocolate. Well, the next Valentine's Day, me and my co-host were dunked in chocolate.
Different
it was a
markets.
Great bit.
Totally fine.
I know, but I guess my point is that everybody is stealing from everybody all the time. So I'm, aside from the Blame Pie, I have no real issues.
Did you steal anything ever, Ireland?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I'm sure I did. Like Mace says, everything's derivative. But part of that, too, is like you saying Tim Burton didn't direct.
He didn't, actually. He was not the director.
Who's the GM of the Miami Heat?
Isn't that Pat Riley?
Yeah.
No.
Well, but it is.
So I would argue that
who is the GM?
Tim Burton didn't direct.
Yes.
Or kind of like, who's the offensive?
Who is the GM?
It's a guy named Andy Ellisberg. Who
never
nobody,
heard of him.
Yeah, the Andy Ellisberg.
Well, do you guys know who the GM of the Clippers is?
It would be Lawrence Frank.
That's what most people would say.
Who is it?
It's a guy named Michael Winger.
Oh, okay. Is that the guy from OKC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that happens a lot.
Yeah,
like,
that's
who's
a good
the
point.
Offensive coordinator for the Rams?
Sean McVay.
it's somebody else.
It's truly Sean McVay.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
he's got that.
So I would
right
say if
face.
You're the director on, as Mason said, Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas, you ain't getting any credit.
Henry Selick.
Shout
know
out
the name.
To Henry Selick. He directed a really, really cool movie. Bergman, I think you probably saw it.
What is it?
Coraline.
Coraline. Oh, my daughter loves Coraline.
He directed that. It is a great movie.
I think that was
movie.
Tim Burton also.
Maybe Coraline. Yeah. Might have been.
It's very much the exact same style. It fits Tim Burton very well.
Bob.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
All right, so one of Brenda's co-workers, really close to Brenda, her son is turning 21.
Okay.
And we're trying to figure out what we can get this kid. So
booze.
My suggestion besides booze, I said we can get him booze. And like $21 worth of scratchers. And this idea I got because of the Powerball.
I like that.
That's a great idea.
And Brenda's like, no, I think $20 is just a little. I'm like, okay, so then give you a better idea. What do you guys think? Great idea or no?
I love it. I think $21 worth of scratchers, particularly when's his birthday?
This Sunday.
With this current lotto jackpot coming up,
exactly.
Buy the tickets tomorrow. Give them to him a few days early. Just say, hey, we were thinking about you. It's your birthday coming up. We figure why not improve your chances of winning a bunch of money? Here's 21 scratchers.
What are the odds of winning?
That's the whole point.
How much is a scratcher?
It depends. It goes from $1 to $10.
Okay.
Buy him 21 $1 scratcher tickets.
And then he can get 50 out of that.
How much do you win on 21 scratchers?
We should try it. We should buy $20.
Okay, I'm going to get 21 scratch tickets tomorrow. The
$1
versions. Let's see. I'm not buying one for 21 for each of you. No, but I will. I'll go to the store and buy $21 scratch off tickets.
$1 ones or $2 ones, whatever.
Yeah,
it's got to be even. Yeah. You know, there's four of us, so 21 doesn't divide into four.
How about
24?
I'll friggin' share whatever I win.
Get a bunch of candy.
Good God. Yeah.
Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy.
Wow. I never thought James Woods would be a regular contributor to this show. That
Jimmy Woods.
Yeah, that happening was way down on the list.
Yes.
Oh, boy. We'll go to another one.
Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy.
I just like it so much. All right, so I have the odds for Gisele Bündchen's next boyfriend, according to the sportsbettingdime.com. That was going
to
be my next thing I say.
1 million to 1.
I'll give you a hint. You know a lot of the names. Mine is surprisingly not on it. Should be. It's ridiculous.
Right, where does Pete Davidson rank?
Second.
There you go.
At plus 900.
Oh, man.
Who's first?
Well, you like, want to take a couple guesses here?
Yeah. Okay.
These are all famous people.
Okay.
I'm like most of them.
Oh, I got it. It's Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt is number 4 at plus 1,100.
Brad Pitt's a good call.
It is a good one.
I'm trying to think of who else is single. Saying,
and who else is age appropriate.
Age appropriate, well.
Amanda says Leonardo DiCaprio. He is on there six.
They've already dated.
Oh, well, he's on it again.
Yeah, they dated when Giselle was younger.
Sorry,
yeah, but she's
Giselle,
not 25 anymore.
Yeah, you're too old.
Yeah, no, she's too old for him now.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Bergman, Giselle is a twin sister. That may be your way into the fortune.
You can get the twin who has
perfect.
No money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who's number one.
Okay, so number one is Bradley Cooper.
Oh, okay. That's
which
a good
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
The other one.
He's dating a younger, hotter supermodel right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Number three is a guy that's in a commercial with Tom Brady.
Gronk?
No, isn't it Jason Momoa in the commercial?
Oh, yeah, Jason Momoa in LeBron.
Oh, with LeBron. That's right. Never mind. But, yeah, he's number three at
plus
1,000.
Yeah, but isn't Jason Momoa with...
They broke up.
They broke up.
Oh, they did.
Elisa
Kravitz?
I thought you...
No, I think he was singing Lisa Bonet.
Lisa Bonet. Oh. Yeah, then it's Cristiano Ronaldo, Michael Jordan, Lewis Hamilton, Zac Efron, John Boyega, Drake, plus 2,200. Anybody, you want to make
Drake
any bets on any of these?
Drake is not a bad...
No, Drake's a good call.
Wait, I'll bet $1 on Drake.
$1 on Drake. Plus
$2,200. I get $2,200 if I win, right?
Yes.
That's an easy $2,200.
Rob Lowe. Or Bob Lowe. What's his name? Amanda? Amanda says who?
No, what? I said
Garoppolo. Oh, Jimmy G. Sorry.
Jimmy G following Brady again. No? You don't
think
so?
What's interesting about Jimmy G is, hey, Amanda, get to a microphone. Here's the thing about Jimmy G. My wife thinks Jimmy G is ridiculously attractive.
So does Brenda, yeah.
Yeah, your wife does, too.
Oh, my God, my mom is like, oh, Jimmy G.
But here's what turned Lisa off to Jimmy G. When he found out he dated a porn star.
Yeah.
She goes,
yeah, that's kind of gross.
So would that? But if Jimmy G walked in here right now.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, he's smoking hot.
Right. But would and he showed an interest in you. The fact that he dated a porn star, is that a deal breaker?
That's a deal breaker. Because
why?
When you think about
where he's been.
Where she's been.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
where she's been. Yeah.
Where she's been and then where he's been.
Yes.
And you put the puzzle pieces together.
You're like, I don't want any part of what's at the other end of that puzzle.
But everybody has a sexual history.
Yeah. True. But
yeah,
not porn.
But that one's just a little.
As far as you know. I mean,
oh, wait, is there porn of John Ireland?
No. You, I'm talking about.
There's no porn.
He's
of
one
me.
Of Hollywood's
not
big
you.
Guns.
Nobody
but
would
all
want
the
to see
me.
No,
nobody
because
would
all
want
the,
to see any of either of you.
Yeah, exactly. That's why there isn't any of me. No, Mace, what I'm saying is when you were younger and hitting the ball with power to all fields.
All fields, yes.
You don't know that you didn't cross swords with a porn star.
Cross
oh, jeez.
John, man.
You don't. You don't.
I technically don't.
But this is different because
but
I would know.
But in Jimmy G's case, you know.
I would know. And so the answer would be no.
Oh, yeah. My mom is like Jimmy G.
He is. He's
hot. She's like, I'm rooting for the Rams for you, but Jimmy G.
He is. He's hot.
Yeah. He's very attractive.
Is he the most attractive NFL quarterback, Commander?
Zach Wilson.
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah. Oh, Zach Wilson. Yeah.
He's a baby.
He is so young.
Garoppolo.
Yeah, Garoppolo looks like a male model.
Yeah, he looks like
I used to like Brady, but there's something weird going on with his face now.
I agree. It's he's really
by the way, Greg,
thin,
is there is there a
weight,
is there a thing that says who Brady's next girlfriend will be?
Oh, that's a good question too.
This only had
because we know he had
Giselle.
Bridget Moynihan.
Right.
Right? So actress.
If he started
then supermodel.
Yeah. Yep. If he started dating Kim Kardashian, would that break the internet?
Probably.
I don't think Kim goes there.
Kim and Tom
you don't think
Brady?
Kim goes there. Or you don't think Tom goes
Kim
there.
Kim would go there in a second.
No, I don't think Tom. I think Tom would.
Chris
I don't think Kim
Jenner
would.
Has got like puppet strings on
but
Kim,
Tom
and she'll
white.
Walk him over to Tom. It doesn't matter.
Yes, Pete Davidson.
They're dating strategically.
Oh wait a minute. Pete Davidson. Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Who can? I think what Kim's thinking.
Okay, they only marry non-white guys, but.
You really think that Tom Brady wants to get married again?
Nah, I
doubt it. Well, eventually.
Kim will probably have like 5 marriages down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you're on the YouTube stream.
Yeah, wait a minute. What do you mean dating strategically? You mean that they're not in love?
Oh, I think that. No, I think it happens all the time. I think people date.
Well, that's my whole argument. And you say, no. People only get together for love.
I wouldn't do it.
Okay, but isn't Brady too, like, I mean, he's too old now. He's too, like, you know.
Aren't Brady and Kim about the same age?
They probably are.
He's past his prime, though.
Boy, it's Brady. Brady's 45, right?
45. What's Kim?
40, probably.
Yeah, that's totally
reasonable.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she.
Did you see Kim showed up at Tracy Ellis Ross's 50th birthday party? Did you see this?
No.
It was not a costume.
Oh, party. I did. Right.
She
I saw
showed up
about
as
it.
Mystique
yes,
from the
all
X-Men.
Blue. All that's right. Yeah.
Blue.
She didn't know it was a
and
co- it wasn't
I
a costume.
And all I say is
party.
Mystique, because she was played by Jennifer Lawrence and
Rebecca Romijn.
Mystique does not have a butt that big. That's just flat
no.
out
well,
true.
No one, Mystique is a little no one has a butt as big as Kim.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
It should be in the Smithsonian. And
someday will.
Yeah.
Someday will be.
All right, Bergman, is that it?
do you want a story about Jalen Hurts or Adele?
Yes. Adele. No, Adele.
Adele, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So do you know we've been saying Adele's name wrong this entire time?
No.
No.
Yes, we are. It's another Adel? One.
Is it Adele?
No, you'll Adel? See. Here's how she says it based off a question she was asked on Adele? Happy Hour with Adele.
Adele? The E?
Tell me Adelie? If you hear a difference Adelie. Or not. I do not, but she says there's a difference.
Annie from London. Here we go. Hell yeah, girl.
Hi, Adele. I'm Annie, and I'm from London. And my question is, on your journey to self-love while writing 30, did your perspective on how you saw yourself when you wrote 25 change at all and how? Cheers, babes. Love ya.
Where's she from? Enfield or something? Love that. She said my name perfectly. Yeah. He came and asked me how I say Adele. My name, and I was like, Adele.
How was
she
mine?
She was like, Adele.
Did you Adele?
Adele.
Adele.
That's how we all say it.
Hadel. It's not Adele.
No,
that's what she's saying.
She's not saying there's a silent H. There's no silent. She didn't say that.
That's exactly what
she said.
She
said Adele.
That's exactly what she said.
She did not. Jorge, do me a favor. Clip that just that little bit.
Where she says, she said my name perfectly.
Aside from the annoying question about your journey, I cannot stand your journey conversation. On my journey.
But we've been saying
Adele.
Well,
you know, Mace,
Adele,
on your journey is where you'll find your truth, yeah, which you love.
Respect.
Yeah, yeah, so have some respect.
So clip that, and we'll use
it. But we've all been saying Adele, and she said my name perfectly, which means that we've been saying it wrong. Well, but her accent is what it is.
Adele,
I don't know what you want to say.
Adele.
Yeah,
Adele.
There's no H. It's just the
you
accent,
don't have to
you
say
dope.
It in British.
In the story. I'm just saying what it is, right?
You're
here.
Saying say it in British,
in
and it's right.
The story, it has it spelled H-U-H-D-E-L-E.
Adele. Okay, here it is.
Said my name perfectly. Yeah. He came and asked me how I say
Adele.
My name, and I was like, Adele.
How was
she
mine?
Was like, Adele.
Did you Adele?
Adele.
Yeah, she's saying Adele.
Adele. Adele.
There's no H.
Adele. That's
where
what she's
you?
Saying.
Wait, wait.
How are you not
H.
hearing this?
Bergman. Seriously, I want you to go to
an ear
EMT
doctor?
And get your ears cleaned. Why is it not called an ENT? My guy's an ENT. Ear, nose, and throat.
It's not ENT anymore.
Yeah, how do you spell Jose?
No, my doctor's
H-O-S-E.
Jose.
H-O-S-E. There's an H at the beginning.
Why are you stealing Jorge's jokes?
Hey. Because Jorge gave me a joke.
Hey,
why don't you say it on the air, Jorge?
Ha-Greg.
Ha-Bergman.
It's spelled H-U-H-D-A-L-E.
Yeah.
How do you spell Juan?
Adele.
Juan.
Adele. H-U-A-N.
Yeah.
That's with a J. The J sounds like an H anyway.
Yeah, you are hearing things that are not there to be heard.
No, that's, look, she's
Adele.
Saying it, not me. I'm just going by what she
Adele.
Says.
How was mine?
She was like, Adele.
Did you, Adele?
Adele.
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 There is no way.
Go back again.
No
do it again. Do
oh,
it again.
Man, there is no H.
How I say Adele. My name, and I was like, Adele.
How was
she
mine?
She was like, Adele.
Did you, Adele?
Adele.
Adele.
Adele. She's saying Adele.
Great. Amanda doesn't hear it. I don't hear it. Jorge doesn't hear it. Mason doesn't hear it. Is there a possibility that perhaps you're either stoned or can't hear?
No. I'm absolutely right.
What kind of computer do you have? Adele. That's my computer. Adele. That's what I got.
Or in Bergman's case, Adele.
Who's right, John?
Greg, I think you're right.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Oh, that's wrong. All right. Coming up next for you. You know, I'm a big dog. I love my dogs, right?
Yeah.
But there's a limit to what I will do for them.
I disagree with that.
Okay. There is a limit.
I cannot think of anything you would not do.
And I will tell you what it is coming up. Plus, does Justin Turner deserve a legacy contract from the Dodgers?
Okay.
We'll get into that coming up.
And I have an etiquette question that I want to ask you.
Perfect.
I think you're violating etiquette.
Okay.
All right. I will share coming up.
We will do that coming up. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.